Let me go ahead and pray for us before we start. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you that you've given us your word to give us wisdom on how to use things like social media. Pray that you would give us wisdom tonight. Help us to understand our hearts. Help us to understand just your creation and how to best use it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so tonight we are, I feel like most of you probably didn't come here to hear how great social media is. So we are going to, like, I do want to go ahead and acknowledge there are good things about social media. You can connect with people that you haven't seen in a long time. You can learn new skills. Like, I make candles. I basically learned how to make candles on a Facebook page. Like, it was really helpful. You can do a lot of really good things. You can be creative. It can be a creative outlet for people, like, you know, TikTok, people making short videos, you know, 20, 30 second video that's really funny is really hard to do. And so it can be a pretty good creative outlet too. And so there are a lot of good things about social media. I want to go ahead and acknowledge that up front. I'm not anti-social media or anything like that. Yeah, it can be a really good thing. Grace Ann and I have, like, laid in bed at night just crying, laughing about videos that we've seen on Instagram. So it can be a really good thing. But I think the reason y'all are here is because we know it can also be a bad thing. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But first, I just want to kind of point out that it is a big deal. Like, social media is huge. So 70% of adults use social media and 80% of teens use social media. I was trying to think, what is another thing in America that 80% of teens and 70% of adults do? I was trying to think, like, watching sports. I doubt that. I doubt it's that high. So this is a big deal. This is one of the few things that is pretty universal. So it's a big deal. The average between 2.5 and 3.5 hours per day on social media. Yeah, that's a lot. And if you want to see what yours is, like, I thought about making everybody get their phones out, go into screen time, and looking at what it is. But you can do that in settings, go to screen time, pull it up, and it'll show you your average. And I bet it will be higher than you think it is if you haven't done that before. So 2.5 to 3.5 hours per day. I've seen both statistics. I've seen probably more studies show 2.5 hours per day, but some have shown it's 3.5 hours per day. So if you take a 16-hour day, let's say you have 8 hours of sleep, that leaves 16 hours for the rest of the day. That's 57 to 80 days in the year that we're on social media. Waking up, so you wake up at 6 o'clock, you scroll for 16 hours, you go to bed at 10 o'clock. 57 days in a row if it's 2.5 hours per day. It's 3.5 hours per day. It's 80 days per year. So that's it. That's a pretty big deal if we spend that much time. If you spend 1 hour on social media, I think it was like 23 days of just doing that. You know, almost a month. If it's 2.5, almost 2 months. All right, so there's a ton of statistics that show just kind of the effect that social media is having on teenagers especially. One of those is that teen girls who have had a major depressive episode doubled since 2010. Anybody know what happened in 2010? Snapchat and Instagram came out. That was when they launched. And there's just an escalating kind of on the chart. It goes, I mean, it's just like when Snapchat and Instagram comes out, it just goes up. And that could, people have argued that's unrelated. You know, it's just maybe people are reporting it more now and those kinds of things. But a lot of other studies have shown that it is having a major effect on teenagers. Instagram did some studies that their in-house studies showed that it's having this effect, that it's having a negative effect on people. So it's a big deal. It's impacting people universally. All right, so I heard a pastor, well, I guess he's a counselor more, somebody that I respect a lot. I agree with, like, most of what he says. He said that social media is kind of a tool that you can use. It's not good, not bad. It's like a hammer. You know, you can use a hammer to build a house, or you can use a hammer to, you know, hurt somebody. It's just kind of there. It's not good or bad. Social media, I don't think, is like that. Social media is not neutral. It is there to influence you. It is there to move you to do something. Now, like I said, it can be good. It can also be bad. There are good and bad things, which is what I think this counselor is trying to say. But here's some reasons that it's not neutral. Advertising alone, just for influencers, like individuals, companies spend $16 billion a year just for individuals to try to influence you to buy something, to try to get you to do something, to try to manipulate you. The total amount spent on marketing on social media is $56 billion. So all of TV marketing in a year is $64 billion. So social media marketing is almost matching that of television. I'm assuming it's going to surpass it soon. Okay, the algorithm, that's what this picture is about. You've probably heard of the algorithm. It basically just prioritizes what content a person sees based on the likelihood that they'll want to see it and engage with it. So this algorithm is designed to put stuff in front of you that you want to see. It's designed to make you try to engage with it. You know, if you like a certain political party, they're going to push that stuff in front of you. And also, they'll push the opposing view in front of you to try to get you to react to it. Political posts on Facebook were by far the most engaged content on Facebook. So they're going to try to push stuff in front of you because their goal is to keep you engaged for as long as possible, because the longer you're on social media, the more money they make. Okay, so it's not neutral. Like a hammer doesn't send me notifications like, hey, come here. You know, a hammer doesn't try to push me to build a doghouse instead of this thing over here. Like a hammer is neutral. Social media is not. It is trying to shape us and manipulate us and get us to do something. So it's not neutral. It does shape us. It moves us one way or another. Okay, so we've got to ask, how does it shape us? Can I get somebody to read this passage for us? All right. I just realized that I'm recording. It's going through this. So those of you listening, we just read Romans 12, 1 through 2. you can go back and read it. Hit pause, go read it. Okay. So this passage just, it tells us, one, that we are malleable, that we can be conformed by our surroundings. So we are surrounded by those things. I mean, we are conformed and we are shaped by what's around us. There's a guy that I like that studies youth culture, and he says youth culture is like a soup. It's like a stew. Whatever it is that you're in, you're absorbing its values. Whatever you're around, whatever you're filling your time and your mind with, you're absorbing those things. And so it says that we can be conformed to the world. We need to acknowledge that the hour or 2 hours or 3 hours that we're spending on social media is forming us. And Paul says, watch out. Like, be aware of how it's forming us. So I saw this. I don't know if y'all can see this very well. I saw this on Instagram. One of the good things about Instagram, right? And I thought about social media. So over on the left side, there's water dripping out from this top bar onto this rock. Over on the left side, it says 15 years of erosion. You can kind of see a little bit of a crease in the rock starting to form. It's carving out a little bit of a thing. 25 years of erosion. There's more of an indent in the rock. It's like, and this is water just dripping, like, slowly. There's more of an indent in the 25 years of erosion. And then 50 years, you can see a pretty deep cavern cut into the rock. I think this is a good picture of our hearts. Like, usually it's not the big kind of events or the big things that are going to make a huge impact in us. It's the slow drip of what we're surrounding ourselves with. It's the 20 minutes of Instagram here, the 30 minutes of Instagram there, the, you know, 30 minutes of Facebook here. It's the slow drip day after day after day that forms our hearts. And that's how we are conformed by the world around us. All right, so we are formed. I got a lot of this from this book, You Are What You Love. The little habits and loves part is from that. the emotions part is from a book I'll talk about later. But so we're formed, we're shaped by our habits. So our habits, the things that we do day in, day out, the things that we look at, they shape our loves, or we could say our view of the good life, what the good life is. And then our loves, what we think the good life is, informs our habits, because we're trying to get the good life. We're trying to have that. And so our habits shape our loves shape our habits. And then our emotions then reveal what it is that we love. Okay, so let's go just some examples: TV, friends, social media, daily routines. Those things are all going to shape our loves. Now, when I talk about loves, there are kind of presenting loves, and then there are deeper loves. So, like, let's say you love money. Like, you want money, you feel like you need money, your view of the good life is having a lot of money, okay? It's probably really not because you love the paper, you know, or the numbers in the bank account. It's because you love what money can get you, right? It's one of these things. Maybe money can get you comfort. Maybe money can give you control and you can kind of throw your weight around. Maybe money will give you acceptance. Maybe money will give you respect or security. And then, so let's say you love money because you want one of these things. Let's say somebody prevents you from getting money. Let's say you're about to do this deal and you're about to get a huge commission check and the guy backs out last minute. What's going to be your emotion? Anger, right? Somebody prevented you from getting what you love, so you're going to be angry. Let's say say the economy is bad, and it seems like it's getting worse, and stock market is plunging, and you might lose money. What emotion might come out of that? Anxiety, fear. You're going to lose what you love. Let's say you do get that big sale, and you get that commission check. What are you going to feel? Happiness. That's right. What if somebody else gets that sale and they get that big commission check? What are you going to feel? Yeah, envy, jealousy. That's right. So you see how our emotions show what it is that we love. Like, so our emotions kind of feed back into what we love. And we're shaped, our loves are shaped by our habits. All right. Let me give you an example from my life. I can't remember if it was Grace Ann or I that saw this first. I'm pretty sure it was on a social media post, that the HGTV was giving away a dream home. It was on the beach, and it was like, I mean, it was beautiful. It's probably $1.5 million, $2 million home. Came with $100,000 cash and a brand new SUV, like a Suburban or something like that. Okay, so you can go enter into this HGTV giveaway. You can enter once a day. And so we kind of saw that. And then when I got on and looked at that and went, like, did the tour of the house, like, I was watching videos on it. Like, I was daydreaming about what we would do with it. I was like, all right, we'll keep it for a year or two. We'll rent it out. We'll block off some time for, like, just our family. Then we'll block off some other time for, like, holidays and stuff. Our whole family can go celebrate and, like, just enjoy each other. And then we'll sell it and take the cash and, like, you know, invest it and all that kind of stuff. So my view of the good life was to have this comfort, this leisure, and really financial security. I was like, if we won this, like, we would be set for a while. You know, we'd kind of be able to get ahead of where we are now. And then, so when I went and registered, so when I saw that, I was like, oh, I got to have that. So every day, went back, and every day I'd register for it, and I'd see it. I'd be like, oh, I don't want that. I need that. And I'd go back and register for it. See it again. I want that. I need that. Then I started realizing I was really discontent with the house that the Lord had given us. I'm seeing this big, beautiful house. I was like, our house is nothing like that. Like we're kind of cramped in our house. Like, you know, there's stuff everywhere. It's hard to host people. Like, we have to move our kids into our closet. You know, I was just growing discontent. And then if I heard of anybody buying, like, a lake house or a beach house, I was just like, I wish I could have that. Like, I wasn't happy for them that they could do that. I was envious because they had what I wanted. They got what I envied. Okay, let's go through some examples on social media. Let's say your habit. Say your habit is, so let me say, we love our house. Like, we're very content with it. Our house is great. And it was really good. God actually kind of put some people in my life that that did not have a lot. And so that made me a lot more content when they kind of reshaped my view of the good life. So anyway, we're very content with our house most of the time. Those are still my idols, by the way. Comfort, security. Okay, so let's say your habit is you're on Facebook during election season, and you're seeing all these political ads or political articles or videos or whatever. You're seeing all these things, and your candidate is promising a better economy. Your candidate is promising better foreign policy. Your candidate is promising something. And you like that because you feel like if that candidate gets in office, I'll get what I want. I'll get what I love. The good life is going to happen if this candidate gets in office. Okay? And then that maybe spurs you on to post about that political candidate. Maybe that spurs you on to read more articles. Facebook and Instagram are for sure going to put more stuff in front of you if you engage with those things. And so your habits then will reinforce those loves. That the good life is going to happen when this candidate gets in office. Okay, let's see. Say your candidate doesn't win. You don't get what you love. Anger, right? Somebody prevented it. Somebody stole the election. You get angry. You find somebody to blame. Let's say there's a fear that your party won't get into power. There's anxiety. What's going to happen if this other person is in control? Or there's depression. It's just hopeless. Like, everything is going to pot. Like, this country is, you know, just in the worst state ever, and it's hopeless. So maybe that's how social media can kind of affect us and shape us. Let's say you spend 2 hours on Instagram, and you see all these moms that somehow have the ability to work out 2 hours a day, and they look great, and you think, man, she is living the good life. Like, if I looked like that, maybe I could get, maybe people would accept me more. If I didn't look like the way I do now. Maybe I'd get some respect. People would be like, wow, that's a super mom right there. Like, she can work out. She looks like that. She has a job. She's raising these kids. Like, she is a super mom. Maybe you feel like you'd get respect. Maybe you'd feel like your husband would be more attracted to you. Maybe that there'd be some security in your marriage. Or maybe it'd be awesome to feel like maybe you would feel good if you just looked that way. You'd feel pleasure from that. Let's say maybe you go and follow some, because you want that. You want that life. You go and follow some motivational Instagram posts. I mean, Instagram influencers or whatever that are motivating you to work out and all this stuff. When you get on there and look at that, it's just, you're going to realize either you don't have it, or you're not going to have it, or you fear you'll lose it. You fear aging, losing that beauty. Or maybe you, on the loves part, you know, maybe you have the beauty, and you're going and you're posting all these pictures of, like, working out and posting pictures on the beach and stuff, trying to let people know that you have the good life, that you have this. There's a lot of social media influencers that have gotten off of social media because they've tried to convince people of that, and it hasn't given them what they wanted. Like, they thought it would give them acceptance. They thought it would give them respect or whatever, and it hasn't. It's just let them down. So it could be beauty. And then, yeah, again, somebody else gets it. You're envious. If you don't get it, maybe you're bitter and angry towards whatever's preventing you from going to the gym, whatever interrupts your your schedule or whatever. Maybe there's anxiety that you'll lose your beauty, that you're going to age. Yeah, all those things. All right, one more. I think one more, maybe two more. All right, let's say you see all these people posting about their well-achieving, high-achieving kids, and you're like, man, that's awesome. That's the good life. Like, if my kids made straight A's, life would be good. If my kids were athletes like that, life would be good. If my kids got scholarships like their kids, life would be good, right? Because it might give me financial security. If my kids get scholarships, I'll be secure financially. Maybe it'll be acceptance. Maybe you want people to look at your family and think, like, that's an awesome family. I don't know how they do all that they do, but they get a lot done. Maybe it's respect again. Comfort or control over their future, whatever it is. Then if you don't get it, again, anger, anxiety, hopelessness, envy, all those emotions can come from that. And then if you're posting, maybe you feel like you do have that. If your kids are high achieving, maybe you feel like you do have that. So you're going to post in a way that is going to try to convince people that you have that. Maybe your emotion on social media is happiness because everybody is liking your post and like, how are you doing this? Your kids are beautiful. You know, all this stuff. Maybe happiness is the emotion. In all these, it could be. All right, this is the last one. This one's a little bit different. Say your habit is 2 hours on Instagram. The question might be, why are you spending 2 hours on Instagram? It could be because you love laughter, and really what that would be is you love comfort. You want to escape responsibility, escape stress, and have pleasure instead. Well, what's going to be there when you get off of Instagram? Responsibilities and stress, right? And so that's going to lead to anxiety, maybe hopelessness, and I'm never going to get this stuff done because I just wasted 2 hours of my life. So we're going through this and going through so many examples because I think this is the most important thing to think about when we're thinking about social media is we got to do heart work to figure out what is it that I'm loving? What is social media maybe feeding in those loves? How's it shaping my loves? And a lot of times we can do that by asking, how do I feel when I get off of social media? Like, what am I feeling when I get off of it? Am I happy? Okay, why am I happy? Because I feel like I've got something that I love on there. Am I sad? Okay, why am I sad? What do I feel like I've lost by being on social media? Am I anxious? What do I feel like I may never get? Am I hopeless? What do I feel like I'm never going to achieve? All that. So you can start with your emotions to kind of do the work to go back to your loves, and then maybe from there figure out what it is, what habits are kind of informing your loves or your view of the good life. All right. So how can we not be conformed to the world but be transformed? I think if we get new habits, we get new loves. If we can replace old habits and have new habits. So decrease social media time. If you're on social media less, it's going to shape you less. Increase Bible time. That's what's going to influence us. That's what's going to shape our hearts to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to know what's the will of God, what's good and right. So increase Bible time. I saw in this book that I read, Social Sanity in an Insta World. This is awesome, by the way. This is probably the best book I've read on social media. I've probably read 4 or 5. This is written for women, but it's really helpful for guys too. So anyway, I highly recommend that. But it's written by like 7 different authors. They just took one chapter at a time. But she said that our problem is not that we spend too much time in social media. Our problem is that we don't spend enough time in Scripture. Because we're being shaped by social media instead of being shaped by Scripture. And so increasing our Bible time. Practicing repentance. That's doing the work of figuring out what it is that we love. What are we looking for to satisfy us instead of the Lord? Like, if we're looking for security or acceptance or comfort, we're not going to the Lord for those things. We're going to social media for those things or whatever it is. So, curate who or what you follow. If there are people that are shaping you to have an unbiblical view of the good life, unbiblical loves, maybe just stop following them. You know, if there's political accounts that are making you love and think that this political candidate is your savior and is going to give you everything that you need, maybe unfollow that. So curate who or what you follow, and then spend time with real people. I think if we spent time with real people, we would see their whole lives and not just the kind of polished version of them. And we would see, okay, maybe they really don't have the good life. Maybe everybody is the same. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, and we're all struggling, and we're all just trying to do the best we can. In this book, again, there's a author, a Christian author, who on social media was praising her husband and talking about how great their marriage was and stuff. And then 2 weeks later, they announced that they were divorced. So spending time with real people, you kind of get to see more than just what they're trying to put up on social media. Okay, so when we do that, when we have new habits, we'll have new loves. We'll love Jesus, and we'll love others more with these new habits. And then when we realize that Jesus is who gives us acceptance, Jesus accepts us no matter what. Jesus brings comfort. We are secure in his love. He loves us exactly how we are, despite our sin. And we can be pleased with Jesus. Psalm 16:11 says there's pleasure at God's right hand. So our emotion then, if our new love is Jesus, our emotion then is joy, because we have everything. We get everything that we love. We get everything that we need. So our emotion can be joy. All right. So I think this is my biggest concern with social media, like with teenagers. I think about this a lot with youth. They're getting a view of the good life that is totally unbiblical. And there's a lot of promises on social media that they will be accepted, that they'll be, you know, respected or comforted or whatever it is. And so I'm concerned about the heart more than anything else, about what's going on in our heart, the idols in our heart that social media kind of amplifies or feeds. Okay, so, but there's also other issues that I think we need to talk about. So first, social media in our time. We talked a little bit about the time, but let's read Psalm 39:4. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. So we all have a certain amount of days. The Lord has measured out our lives. He knows how many days we have left. We don't. But again, the average is 2.5 to 3.5 hours per day. And it, again, that's 57 to 80 days per year. If we are on social media from age 25 to age 80, it's 8.5 to 12 years spent on social media. That's insane. I mean, not only is it just a waste of time, but what is it doing to us? So, we only have a certain amount of time. So what can we do with this? I think we need to take an honest assessment of what social media is pulling us away from. There's only so much time in a day. Here's areas where we should be spending our time with the Lord. So you can think, is social media pulling me away from the Lord? Maybe instead of, you know, reading my Bible in the morning, I'm on Instagram. Or like John Piper said, you know, John Piper is just so black and white, in your face, not holding back. He said one good use of Twitter and Facebook is that on the last day, we'll know that prayerlessness wasn't because of lack of time. So we, you know, how much time are we in prayer versus how much time are we on social media? Is it pulling away from that? Is it pulling time away from God? Is it pulling time away from family, from friends, from people in the church? Are you around people but not really around people because you're focused on social media? Is it pulling you away from your work? Are you not doing good work because you're stealing time from the company, because you're distracted? Maybe you get a notification and it's just a 5-minute check or a 2-minute check or a 1-minute check of Instagram, but it's broken your concentration and your work is not as good. Is it pulling you away from that? Or is it pulling you away from rest? He said, make the Sabbath holy, like keep it holy. Holy means set apart. So one day out of every 7 should be set apart, should be different from the rest. So I would encourage y'all, take one day off of social media. Take one day where you're not looking at social media. Set it apart. Make it different than all the rest of the days. I think, Grace, do you still use downtime? Yeah. So downtime is something on your phone that you can set for certain hours where it basically locks down your phone. You can put that you want to get texts from certain people or calls or whatever from certain people, but it basically locks down your phone for a certain amount of time. So I encourage y'all, use your phones. It's got all your data. Like, it's got when you're using social media, how often you're using it. Look at that and see, okay, where am I when I'm using social media? Like, is it at work? Is it when I'm with my kids? Like, is it during dinner time or whatever? Look and see when you're using it. And then if you want to, instead of being on social media, spend time with those people or doing whatever, work or rest or whatever, utilize downtime. It blocks off. It locks your phone for a certain amount of time. So Grace Ann, I think it was 5 to 7. Is that right? Something. Yeah, 5:30 to 7:30. So that's when I'm getting home from work. You know, the kids are there. Like, we're trying to eat dinner. We want to spend time with the kids after dinner. And so 5:30, 7:30, she cannot look at social media. Like, it's impossible for her to look. Well, it's not impossible. She can unlock it and stuff. But it's really hard for her. It makes it harder for her to spend time with social media instead of it stealing time away from family. So I encourage you, look at when you're using social media and try to use downtime to block off those important times where you want to be with people or you want to be at work or you want to be with the Lord. Block off those times. You can also set time limits, you know, for certain apps. Like, I have a time limit for Instagram, and it's like 30 minutes a day, I think. And it'll say, you know, you've reached your time limit, and you can put in a password or whatever for 15 more minutes or an hour or whatever. And you still do that. You probably still will do that. I do that. But it is a great way to, it kind of jolts you out of just the scrolling. It's like, wait, do I need to be on this? Is this taking me away from something else? So I'd encourage you to use the time limits. Our communication, that's also another issue. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Most of what's on social media is not giving grace to anybody. So that phrase, "let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth," is interesting. It's like, in Ephesians, there's kind of this theme of you were once dead in your sins. You were dead, but you were walking in sin. So you're like a zombie walking. You're the walking dead. This word corrupting is like, don't talk like you're dead. Don't talk like you're rotting and decaying like an unbeliever. Your talk should be different. It should be something that gives grace and builds up. So before you post, just think, is this going to build somebody up? Is this going to be gracious? Before you comment on a political post or whatever. By the way, I'm pretty sure nobody has ever been, their mind's ever been changed from a comment on Facebook or a post that you've put on Facebook or anything like that. If you're trying to change somebody's mind, communicate in person. That's a lot better way to do it. That doesn't really fit here. But our communication is definitely affected by social media, and we should be better about communicating in person. All right, James 1:19 says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." We are quick to speak on social media a lot of times, especially when there's some kind of big event, like some kind of news event that's come out. There's just a lot of things that have happened the past couple of years where big news events have come out. Everybody comes out and gives their opinion. And then later we might learn there's more facts that we should have just waited and listened. And there's stuff that we should have probably kept our mouth shut and listened. A lot of times if there's somebody on the other side of the political aisle that is posting something, we can be quick to speak and slow to listen and not try to listen for their perspective. We want to be able to articulate their perspective in a way that they would agree with. Like, where you can kind of repeat back to them what they believe, and they would say, yes, that's right, that's what I think. But instead, we would rather just say our opinion and, you know, move on social media. So we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. All right, this is kind of along those same lines, but social media and divisions. In 1 Corinthians, there were all kinds of divisions about you know, who was following Paul, who was following Apollos. There was kind of the, at the Lord's Supper, they weren't letting some people come in and eat with them. Like, they were leaving people out of the Lord's Supper. There are all these divisions. And so Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And then 1 Corinthians 13:7, love believes all things. So another way to say that is love gives a benefit of the doubt. And so we should be quick to do that, is to give the benefit of the doubt, not be divisive on social media. And again, talking in person is a lot more helpful than talking on social media or even text. All right, so another thing is social media, a thing to think about is social media and quantity versus quality. So friendships, this is probably more for teenagers, but they're just friendships kind of based on pictures like this. Like Snapchat, this is most of what Snapchat is. It's just sending a half picture of your face. Like, I was embarrassed to take this. I was at the coffee shop earlier today, and I did it and kind of looked around, see if anybody saw me do it. But also Googled for a while trying to find a dumb picture like this and couldn't. So I was also embarrassed to be looking at that. Anyway, so a lot of friendships are just shallow, just sending pictures back and forth. And we've got to train our kids, teenagers, to recognize real friendship versus false friendship. I mean, that's not friendship if there's no content there. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We need to be teaching kids what real friendship looks like. We need to be participating in real friendship and not just online connection. You know, it's easy to feel connected to somebody online. You're keeping up with their kids. You know what's going on. You know where they went on vacation, all this stuff. But maybe you haven't talked to them in 5 years. That's not really a friendship. That's not a connection. It's kind of a fake connection there. All right, and then art. There's also quantity versus quality. Are you chasing likes or producing quality stuff, producing beauty? Chasing likes usually does not produce beauty. All right, we'll end there. Let me give you a few resources. So these are the books that, these two on the left are books, and the one on the right is kind of a movie documentary. So Social Sanity in an Insta World, like I said, that's a really good book, written for women, great for everybody. It's really good. Untangling Emotions, that's where I got kind of the emotions show what we love piece of that diagram. It's really helpful, like especially for guys. Like, you know, we went through emotions with the youth group, and I was kind of like, guys, we know good and bad. Like, those are kind of, how are you feeling? Good, you know, or bad? This is really helpful, I think, in trying to help us kind of figure out what it is that we're feeling. And a lot of times we can be feeling a lot of things at one time. And that's where the title comes from, untangling those emotions. And so maybe if you get off social media, you might feel anxious, you might feel happy, you might feel hopeless, all in the same time. And so this book is kind of helpful in untangling those things. And then how many of y'all have seen The Social Dilemma? Okay, great. It's a good documentary. It's got a little bit cheesy, like the actor in it. I don't know. He get on my nerves. But it's got a lot of great statistics, a lot of good stuff about like how the algorithms work and all those things. It's really good. It was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it is anymore, but I know they have a website. I think it's just called thesocialdilemma.com. And I'm pretty sure you can watch the movie on there. So you want to do that. And they've got all the statistics and stuff on their website. All right, that's it. We'll take a break, and then we're going to have Dana and Sarah Abraham come up with me, and we're just going to do some Q&A. This is a pretty small group, so hopefully it'll just be a lot of discussion among all of us. But anyway, we'll take a break.